Hello, ladies. Is that a little better? Okay. Can everybody hear me? Okay. Thank you for coming to one of the two women's sessions we have this week. As you can see here, we have a lovely panel of ladies that are going to share some of their thoughts with us this evening. So let's open up in prayer, okay? Lord, we just really thank you for this week. This amazing week that we have every year to gather in your name with our family. And we pray that you would just really give us all something to walk away with today, tonight, as we're here. Let this session just set our hearts in the right direction to receive also tonight and for the rest of this week during the sessions, God. We pray that you would just be with these ladies, calm any nerves that there might be, and just really flow through them, God. We know that we have great expectations that you're meeting us here tonight, and we pray that you would just really give us a great time. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to have Mrs. Nicole Wheatley here, who actually used to be my teacher at GGCA. She's going to start us off, okay?
Thank you. Hello, everybody. My name is Nicole Wheatley. I am officially a pastor's wife from from the Chicagoland Church. We're in Elgin, Illinois, and that is about 45... No, that was my old house, was 45 minutes. We're like an hour and a half west of the city of Chicago, so we're not technically in Chicago, but we enjoy the amenities of going into the city when we want to and going far away when we don't want to be there and dealing with the traffic. There goes my prop. So my husband and I, thank you. My husband and I moved out there 5 years ago. We were here in Baltimore for 10 years while he was in Bible college. I taught in the Greater Grace Christian Academy for almost 3 years before I had my first son, and then was at home raising another two after that. So I have three children all together. True's my oldest is 12 now. And Jaden is 9, and Violet was 2 when we left here, and now she's 7. So she just finished first grade, and we have a lot of fun with them. So what I was thinking of for this conference, I liked this title about being built upon the rock. And anytime I think about things when I would teach, I always try to think of something from some crazy experience I had in life or some real applicable thing that I can think of to teach, because I taught science, anatomy and phys and chemistry. And everything for me mostly revolves around science and nature. When I think of things, if I hear a message in the church, my brain automatically goes to, like, how does that relate to genetics or chemistry or something else? That's why I love Pastor Schaller's messages, because he sometimes brings in a lot of science, and that I relate to that well. So this time, if you are somebody who thinks about stones or rocks and you happen to be an artist like Caroline, you probably would think your first thing might have been like the David or something. You know, it's like stone sculptures and something beautiful you can make out of stone. If you're more of a builder, did I get louder? if you're more of a builder or maybe you know somebody that built houses, then of course you think of foundations and building things that are strong, digging down deep. Maybe you're somebody that's related to water, finding water, good sources of water, and you would think about wells that go down deep into the stone. And so I have these rocks. You can actually just be my, you can be Vianna White here. I like to hike, and so does anybody ever experienced seeing these along a trail?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Does anybody know what they're called?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. They're kind of, these ones actually are river rocks, but yeah, it's like it's a trail marker, and you can call them, they're called cairns. It's an old Scottish, kind of Welsh, English word. And so they've used these. You can put them down now. It's fine. Everybody sees them. You can find these from ancient people groups have used them to mark trails in places that don't have trees. So if you are in a rocky environment, a desert-like environment, there are no trees to mark. Because if you go around here, you will find the blazes on the trail. You know, it's like a little yellow mark or a red mark on a tree. And you could say, okay, I'm on the right path. and you keep following that same color around your trail, and if you get off the trail a little bit, then you say, oh, I see that tree over there with that red blaze on it. I know I'm on the right trail if I go back over there. So if you're not in a place with trees, you would find those cairns. And so when I was like in the Grand Canyon for a desert ecology trip in college, we actually had a trail that the Park Service doesn't help and service at all. They just leave it plain and natural. And so if there's a rock slide, which we experienced, this gigantic boulders that took over the entire trail, you couldn't find your trail. And so you kind of have to climb over the rocks. And then when you get to the bottom, you look around going, okay, where did the trail? Oh, I see cairns. That's where it is. And sort of the job of people as they come along the trail is to add another stone to the top of the cairn or maintain it in some way if it looks like it's falling over. But in nature, you wouldn't see three rocks stacked on top of each other. So your brain says, that looks like that was designed by somebody. That's not natural. And that is because it's a marker for a trail. It could have been an ancient hunting route, or it could have been a memorial, which is in the Bible from Joshua chapter 4. I was looking here at chapter 3, where God tell, or chapter 4, sorry, verse 3, God commands Joshua to tell his people, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. And then down to verse 6, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And how this related, I thought, to being me out in Chicagoland area was when I said that I am now officially a pastor's wife, is for those years that I was here, I was either teaching or having young children at home. I didn't really remember or think about the fact that at some point I was going to be a pastor's wife. My husband was like on the 10-year track to getting his education here as a pastor. Then he was ordained, and then we moved, and oops, I'm a pastor's wife. And so we get out there, and it's like blazing a trail. We have a small church there that with Pastor Harry Weisskopf and Pat Weisskopf, and we went back to help them. And then we had been working with another church in the area with their nursing ministry, and they ended up having a loss. Their pastor moved away, or they didn't have a pastor. So then they said, would you guys be interested in coming in alongside us, joining us? We'll merge the two churches. We'll become Greater Grace, just like you guys. And we have this church building, and it's completely paid off. And you can come in, and this will be us. We'll merge the two churches. And they had lost a lot of their members, too, because of loss, you know, not having a pastor there. So we're two, like, small little church groups that have gotten together, and we don't have a band, and we don't really have a Sunday school, and we didn't really have all these things. And this all happened last year, right before convention last year. And during this last year, it's kind of been like this trailblazing. We've been out on this trail kind of trying to figure out our way, and me not really seeing myself as a pastor's wife or a missionary in that sense. I'm learning, like, my way. I'm learning how to go on this trail. And along the way, I'm looking for these cairns as I go. I'm looking for that firm foundation that I've been taught, that I, you know, pull out of the recesses of my memory. It's in there. I've been taught well. And so the people that are alongside me, I can use them as my memorials to say, you know, what did you do in this situation? Or how did you do a women's ministry? How do you do a Sunday school? And I can use them as memorials. And, you know, it's to say, like, this is the way that we've gone. Not necessarily that I have to follow that exact same trail, but along the trail that we go, I can just take comfort in the word as my memorial. I could take comfort in other people as our memorial, and just look for these little cairns along the way to show me. So that was my thought about about stones and rocks.
That was great. My name's Avril Plunkett. I'm living in Kunming, China, and I graduated from here at Maryland Bible College and Seminary in 1987. And the women's T16 collective years in China went like this. 8 years right after Bible college, 2 as a single and 6 as a newlywed, in China, both in Shanghai and Beijing. And then back here to Baltimore, where after a year or so we had our kids. So we have Nick, who's 19 and has just finished his first year of Bible college here. And Corinna is with us in China still. She's a ninth grader. She's turning 15. And then in 2009, we had an opportunity to go back to China. One person, in this city who's not a believer. And we moved with our family. Nick was 11. Corinna was 7. So we've been there another 8 years. So God is doing amazing things there. Thank you for your prayers. Please visit if you hear about trips happening. It's worth a visit to see these amazing people that can't make it here. When I was thinking about this topic, Pastor Ben actually mentioned the verse as well. But I've been working with little children all year, 6 and 7 year old Chinese children for a whole year. We did a whole year of Christian school, and I thought of the children's song, like the wise man built his house upon the rock. And the way I remembered it was, you know, the rains came down and the waves came up. The verse is the floods came up. So that's in Matthew 7:24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And it just kind of came to my mind, and I was thinking about the rains and in what I was considering the waves. So in my mind, when you hear about, you know, rainfall, it's usually here, it's in inches, 1 inch, 2 inches. We just visited our family in the Midwest on our way here, and a sweet elderly uncle of ours had a basement flood. And for those of you, anyone here who's been involved in basement waterproofing, my husband has done that. So, of course, we got all the details about the basement flood, whether or not the sump pump went on or the battery failed. We had a long conversation about it. But he had said, as an 86-year-old country guy, this has never happened in my whole life, and it happened. And it was the combination of 7 inches of rain. And with rain, the problem is like the accumulative effect, the runoff from the rain. So you can be standing in one place and get kind of wet, but as the rain accumulates and on the ground and then runs to a certain location, you know, you can be flooded. And I just thought of stresses in our lives that are really not big deals. You know, they're not big deals. A slight chronic, maybe a sinus thing that comes up once in a while, or due dates that we have to meet, whether in study or work, a new job, a new location, living in China and not speaking Chinese, and going out the door every day and having a continually just kind of being hit with these heavy raindrops of, I don't understand what everyone's saying around me. Fortunately, God enabled us to learn Chinese a long time ago, but I'm aware of that. But that is definitely a continual stress, but it's not a big deal. You can say, it's not a big deal. But when you're walking through life and you are in this rain shower of many small stresses, they can really affect us. And that's reasonable. I mean, that's not an unreasonable thing to be affected by many small stresses. And the one thing as women that sometimes we do is those verses in Proverbs about a contentious woman is a continual dripping. So sometimes we can make our own rain showers by taking those few raindrops and with our self-talk, you know, just really turning it into a massive, you know, gully washer of a rainstorm. So I think that's something that we encourage ourselves not to do. But it's totally reasonable that stress is real. But then when you think about the waves coming up, you know, if you try to get into the ocean here on the Atlantic Ocean, it's a skill. And if you haven't done it before, you don't exactly know how to time those waves. And if you get hit with one of those, you're going to go down. And then you're probably not going to get up easily. You'll be rolling around in those pebbles and get up again if you're not used to it. And a couple of years, we took our Bible college students in China to the sea, which kind of like, if you had really strong binoculars, you'd see Vietnam from where we were swimming. But it's kind of this little big city where we did outreach and then a beach trip. And they had never experienced the beach. We had guys in their 20s and had never even seen waves or been in the waves. So especially my kids were awesome. They were going to teach these guys how to swim, you know. So, but we kept trying to get them into the ocean, and they kept getting, you know, of course, beat back by these waves, and we didn't know what was going on. We're thinking, why can't they get a handle on this? And it's because we had not specifically told them to close their mouth and not breathe when you're being smashed with waves. So it took a while for them to tell us, no, every time we go in, we're drowning. We don't understand. So that was a key element to protecting themselves with the waves. And it was super fun to have those memories with those young guys and girls. And but I think about waves as a sudden major stress point, like serious diagnosis, sudden death in the family, you know, car accident, loss of a job. I mean, those, again, are very real stress points and can take people out. And I think we've all in this room experienced them. But my thought and the awesome theme of this conference is that it says those who hear these words of mine and do them. And Pastor Ben said today he used that alternative word of rely on. That's my saving grace. So in the midst of this life that we're all leading in different points on the globe, our saving grace is being grounded on that rock. And the word, like Nicole said, that we've been invested in our hearts comes back to us right when we need it. And, you know, we can enjoy the ride. This particular life will not be ours in eternity. This is like the life that we have to lead now. So it's part of the color. You know, I love a good thunderstorm. But you need the word as the center, as the thing that keeps you standing. And we can enjoy this life together. But that's just an encouragement and something that I've been thinking about throughout these days at conference. So thanks.
Hi, I'm Carolyn Peters. And I'm just going to tell you, you know, this thing on my face. Okay. I really took the theme of the conference literally, you know. And I just went face to face with a rock. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I was leaving my little apartment in Budapest. And, you know, I have this beautiful walk kind of through the forest. And then I climb up these stone steps and go to the bus. And this was my first bus that I was going to take on the journey to the airport. And I just went face down on the rock.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that I haven't been eating too much chocolate. That's why I have this. Anyway, so that's the story. I decided to just keep coming, you know. I looked a little bit like a battered wife that was leaving her husband, you know, kind of in a hurry. I had my suitcases, you know, I'm bleeding, you know. Anyway. It was dramatic. As you know, if you know me, I'm a little bit dramatic. For those of you who don't know me, I'm just going to tell you, I grew up on a dairy farm in Wisconsin. I am not from New York City. I'm a Wisconsinite from, you know, I milked cows. These hands have milked cows. Then from there, And hopefully Perio's going to go visit my cute little 84-year-old mother when she goes. Anyway, that's another thing. So anyway, then from there, I went to New York City in the mid-'80s, and I became an actress. Then after I was living in New York City for a while, I got a job with a tour with a theater company, and it was based in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I got saved there. I got saved there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It was so special. But I still had an apartment in New York, so I went back there and I thought, well, I will look for a Greater Grace Church in New York City. There's got to be one. It was in Brooklyn, New York. Mm-hmm. Right. And they had to put up with me there for 10 years. You know, Pastor Moses.
Sorry.
He would say, well, she's the cream in our coffee. We like our coffee dark, you know. So he never made me feel strange, but he really, like, fed me the word, you know? And he would say oftentimes, like, this is the quarry, you know? Like, you bring the stones down, and then you work on them there, and then they get brought up when they're ready, and they get placed where they're supposed to be. You know, I don't go to women's things because there's this going on. Sorry. Okay. So then I was in Brooklyn for 10 years, you know, and Dr. Stevens said, we would like to do a play in Baltimore, and we want to do it right, and work. And so, Carolyn, would you come do this play for us? And, you know, I said yes. I was very prayerful because I moved here and I had to do this big project and I thought, I hope he doesn't plan for me to do this alone. So it's always been like, we are all doing the play. We're all doing it. The children's ministry does the play, the teens, the school, really the school, like so many. And it was my great privilege to direct our Easter play for 17 years. I can't even believe I'm saying that out loud. And they gave us such resources and, you know, we became like the church that does the play. And it was like, from my black, slimy theater career, like God could redeem this? How awesome. So then, thank you. Then I got to be an old lady and God, you know, told me to go to Budapest. So now I'm a brand new missionary in Budapest. I'm going back for my third year by the grace of God. You know, somebody has to, anyway, there are details, you know, like whatever. And so I have to tell you, like, every year when I did the play, God gave me, like, a little secret. And it was my, you know, my rhema word. You know, like, we had that teaching. Like, there's the word of God, and then there's when the word sort of leaps off the page and into your heart, you know? And I thought, I can't do this big, hard job unless you really speak something special to my heart. And so when I was going on the mission field the first year, my rhema word was, nevertheless, like, cast your net on the right side. And I learned so much about what that meant to me over the time. I thought about those fishermen, and I thought about those fishermen saying, we know what we're doing. And you're telling us to fish now? Like this is not the time to fish? And I really said to God, this is not the time for me to be going on the mission field. Like, I wanted to go when I was 27, when I got saved, you know, but no. So, God is faithful, and I'm very much enamored of the rock that is higher than I. Because, you know, my head can be a rock. Like, really, a rock. But I need the rock that is higher than I. You know, and God is building in my life. But I'm also building. You know how we build? We build things. We build relationships. We build careers for ourselves. And, you know, my experience, even my experience with God, which is amazing, is not the rock. The rock that is higher than I is the Word of God, and it's absolute. And it's so strong. And it's so beautiful. You know, Annette in Oman, she loves to send pictures of these rocks. These big rocks, you know, that are in the wadis there. And they're so beautiful. And I think about the beauty of the Word of God. Like, do we just behold the beauty of the Word of God? So then, for my second year, you know, I said, well, I got to have another word, you know, God. You know, I can't go back unless you give me another, like, rhema. Like, I got to have it. And he, you know, I believe in the still small voice. Like, I don't believe that God takes out his finger and writes in gold, you know, Carolyn, go. But I do believe that he gives us, like, this, the still small voice, you know. And I got, for such a time as this. And I thought, well, who doesn't get that one, you know? Like, you know, like we're all for such a time as... But God continues to breathe on it. He's like, no, 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 really look, really listen to me for such. And I think about the beauty of our time. I think about our moments with each other. Like when we come back here, you know, and we have this time together, we really press the reset button. And we have these moments, like maybe we can't even speak to each other. We have these moments. And this is such a time. It's not just a regular time. It's such a time. And then this, like now, we got saved and we are in the world for now, for this time. Anyway, this is what God has been working with me on. And also... so crazy that I'm fellowshipping around the life of Amos. We took a Bible college class about Kings and Prophets, and we had to do this massive amount of reading. Pastor Bendigus in Budapest taught the class, and he is just, he's just an awesome, crazy, like precious, holy man of God. He's a really wonderful person. So many amazing people in Budapest. And he was talking about Amos, you know, and in the beginning of Amos, it doesn't give like his lineage, that he comes from a prophet. It says he's a sheep herder or from the goat fields or something, like he's a farmer. So that really ministered to me because I feel unqualified much of the time for the work of God. But here was Amos. He says, let me see if I can find it.
Sorry.
And I need the glasses, you know. Okay. All right, I'm good. Okay, so here in the middle of the book, I'm in chapter 7, verse 10. Here's Amaziah, and he's complaining. He says, send this guy home. We're done. We're done with him. Send him home. He's not qualified, doesn't know what he's saying. He keeps giving us bad news. Send him home. We're through with him. And Amos says to him, I was no prophet. I'm in verse 14. Nor was I a son of a prophet, but I was a sheep breeder and a tender of sycamore fruit. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people, Israel. Now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. So we have a word. It's from the rock that is higher than us, so we don't have to qualify. And we stand where God places us. And we say what God tells us to say. That's it.
Oh, yeah. She has her own. Oh, she's her own. Nancy.
Hello. My name's Cindy Fires, and my husband's Pastor Ken Fires from Miami, Florida, and you freaked me out with the text. I'm sitting there at work going, she asked me to share, and I was like, oh my gosh. Because anytime we have a lady sing, I try to, what lady can I pick on to talk? Because I don't want to talk. You never know what's going to come out. But I'm honored, and I thank you, and humbled that you asked me. So, before you texted, anyway, I've been musing around with the subject faithfulness. And then when I found out the subject of the conference, the built on a rock, I think that's like a lot of the attributes of God is faithfulness is one of them. And so it comes from that rock. And God is faithful. So just a little brief history. Let me start with Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Well, in my background, before, I'm from Detroit, Michigan originally, and was dragged down to Florida anyway. That's another story. Anyway, we found a church and I got saved in this particular church. It wasn't this denomination. And, we were growing. It was awesome. You know, I learned about the grace of God. And then one day, the pastor was teaching something. It was just like, wait, that just took me for a loop. And I was like really questioning, am I saved? What is going on? And it literally emotionally freaked me out that it just felt like the floor just dropped from, you know, under me. And, God was so awesome. He was like, go back to the foundations, read into the Gospels, go into the Gospels. So I'm reading the Gospels. And at that time, this was many, many years ago, my husband listened to Grace Hour many times and when it was broadcast live down in Florida, out of Miami, actually. And awesome messages. And so I decided I'm going to call. Because I didn't know where to turn to, you know, when you feel like you're just, where are you standing with God? That is just, to me, life and death, you know? So I called off the air and talked to a pastor, and I told him what was going on without, you know, gory details to say to you guys, but to him it did. And he said, here's what you do. You could give my phone number that I don't give out to everybody. Give it to your husband. Have him call me day or night. So he did. My husband came home from work and called, and he told him, get your family and herd them to the nearest exit. So it was like, wow, this is a whole upheaval because we were, you know, connected to people, and it was, we didn't want to be stuck in sentimentality. That was my first lesson on what sentimentality was. It was, okay, put the word of God over relationships, and what you just got to go. Keep going. So so we left, went church shopping because there wasn't a Greater Grace Church near us, and heard on the radio on Grace Hour that there was going to be a visiting pastor coming from Baltimore to this place called West Palm Beach. And where I lived, it was like, where's West Palm Beach? So I called my friend Susie, and I'm like, how far is it from us? She goes, it's not far. Let's get in the car. Let's go. So we went to some strange person's house that we'd never met before, and that pastor was preaching, and it was just like, I'm home, you know? And it was just like this wave of water of the word just washing over me, and just like, oh, thank you, God. I know where I belong. So we found Pastor Foster had a church in West Palm, so we slept there for almost 18 years. I miss him. Sorry. He just passed away in February. January. Anyhow, my tissue girl. Anyhow, this is why I hate the ladies' things too. I avoid this. So then my husband gets ordained after being sitting under Pastor Foster for nearly 18 years. And then the call to Miami is like, we're like, do we go? Do we not? And sorry, no offense, Chrissy, but Miami and Florida is like, oh, nobody wants to go there because it's insane. If you ever try driving, it's just nuts. Anyway, my husband said, I think we're called to go. And I'm like, okay, wherever you want, let's just go. So it's basically, there's no team. It's me, myself, and him. They're doing everything. And but we enjoy it. It's fun. Here and there, you know, God has raised up people, and it's just been, it's been an awesome time. And I wanted to share another Psalm 31:23. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful. My point is, you just keep seeking after God, and he preserves us. And in the church, you know, we're fairly new, so we have, you know, sometimes it's just a few people, but that's okay. Those are the souls that wouldn't have been touched if God didn't send this beautiful grace message down into the area where we're at. And we are actually now, we're growing. We're a beautiful, growing church. But wait, back up a scotch. God was giving us the scripture, despise not the day of small things. And that was like, that's right. This is just beautiful. I'd rather have, what was that, a Tozer that said, I'd rather have 10 faithful believers than 100 that aren't, that, yeah, in the church. And I love that scripture. So, anyhow, God has been adding to our church, and it's been an amazing time. In the beginning, it was just music in a box for worship, just this little thing, plug in. And now Kelly's been coming down faithfully to help us. She's doing worship. And a year ago, I was asking some ladies here to pray for helpers because we had nursery, and it was me in the Sunday school almost a year alone, yeah. And so I was like, okay, God, it's all right. If this is where you got me, okay. So do worship, go into the Sunday school, make the coffee, do this, do the sound. But it's okay. Clean it. But it was, I don't know, I liked it. You know, I was like, am I crazy when I asked these ladies to pray, certain ladies to pray for me? And they said, no, you really need to ask God to raise up people to help you in the Sunday school. So anyways, now we have four other beautiful women that have literally came forward without me asking. So they love to, they love the kids. And I know I'm secure in the fact that they're not lunatics watching over our little kids. Because, you know what I mean? Well, minus her. But my point is that even if your kid's going to a different church or whatever, if they're really, really seeking God, He's going to reveal himself and reveal the truth to them. That's my firm belief. And when we go witnessing, you know, after sometimes, you know, when people are questioning and looking at you weird, I'll tell them, you know what, just that's okay. Go in your room, and one day when you just get quiet and ask God if what this lady is saying is true, reveal yourself to me. And God is so faithful that He will reveal Himself to you. And I think that's it. Oh, one more scripture. 2 Timothy 2:13. And I love this part because, you know, we're in this flesh. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. And there are those times where you're just like, oh, you know, and that's when I think Pastor Foster used to say grace was like the net underneath that tightrope walker. And you're just making that walk. And there are times you're going to slip, but you have that net of the grace of God that's just going to catch you when you fall. So praise God.
Well, that was really excellent. I mean, just like speechless. The end. No. Okay.
Watching you.
So, well, my name's Dana Johnson, and I was just in Kunming, China for the last 10 months. And with Avril at VIS, it's a Christian day school. And she had the little kids, and I had the middle schoolers. But thankfully, there were only three, and then four, and then three. So I don't know if I could have done more than that. But what I wanted to share was just, I read a story a long time ago about when ships would sail on the ocean when they had sails, you know. In order for the topsails to go out and for them to catch the wind and to go really fast on the ocean, they would have to have ballast in them, or else, you know, they'd fall over. So I always find in my personal life that, like, there are things I lack. I just lack, you know? But then, like, things happen, so God puts, like, another layer of rock, like, in my soul. I don't know how to explain it. But it's just there. And so this year was a year I had no clue what I was doing. I really went by faith. And actually, God gave me that same verse that you just said, for such a time as this. Like, that was like going in my head like a record. And I just knew it was about going to China. And I just went by faith. You know, 10 days before the school started, and those guys had everything set up, and I just had no clue what I was doing. But the thing is like, there's this verse in Isaiah 30, and I just want to read this, because strangely enough, like, I was a teacher, but my teachers were actually these girls that I was teaching. And so in Isaiah 30, using this phone, but let's see. It says, okay, for this reason. All right, man. Oh, well, that's not it. Okay, so in verse 20, the sovereign master will give you, I'm reading for the New English Translation. The sovereign master will give you distress to eat and suffering to drink, but your teachers will no longer be hidden. Your eyes will see them. You will hear a word spoken behind you saying, this is the correct way, walk in it, whether you are heading to the right or to the left. And I taught two girls who were from Inner Mongolia, and they, you know, probably came from very difficult situations, like extremely shy, like almost to the point of being like, I don't know how to say it, just really, really shy, couldn't look people in the face, couldn't barely talk and everything. And God really showed me what I needed. I needed a new, like another, like revelation of him, of like the rock, you know? And there were things that I lacked. So this is like really personal. I'm just going to tell you the stuff I didn't have. But God showed me through these girls. And one girl, I gave her an assignment. It was an ESL assignment. She had to talk about like her personality and what she liked about herself, what she didn't like, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, I gave her 5 minutes to do it, and then I sat down, and I looked at her, you know, just to make sure she was still doing this assignment, and she's crying, like bawling, crying. And I just was like, okay, well, let's just stop and see, you know, what's going on. And she told me that she's always had a problem with herself, with her personality and who she was. But having to do this assignment really troubled her. Like, she really, she said to me, she said she was really troubled about who she was. And I had to counsel her in that moment about, like, how who she was, like, I really liked her, and who she was, like, perfect and great, you know? But, like, in the back of my mind, it was like the Holy Spirit asking me, like, do you like who you are, you know? And I had to come, and China, like, was, like, it was a fantastic, it was really a fantastic experience, like, with all the team members, you know, I learned so much, but it was like God had me in this classroom with these girls, and I could see the trouble in their soul, and it was sort of like reflecting back to me, where God was like, you know, the trouble that's in your soul, I want for you to really come to me with a lot of stuff that I just could easily kind of press down or hide and not face very well. And so I began to realize in my own heart that also, like, deep down, I was troubled by who God made me to be. And I then began, like, a quest to start to like myself. I mean, this sounds really weird. but also, like, to like even my faults. Like, to like the things everyone's ever criticized me about for my whole life. And to, like, really start to see me who God sees me as. And one of the verses that really blessed me is in Zephaniah 3:17, where it's like God is really rejoicing over who he made us to be. I mean, he made us all incredibly unique, and he's singing over us, you know. It was like I read that verse, and we talk about all this, and we talk about the finished work, and but am I really thinking of myself in this way? And I had to admit that, much, like, no, I wasn't. You know, I was thinking other things about myself. I was letting other things tell me who I was. And I began to understand Mark 12:31 that says, you know, the second commandment, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And you know what? That verse always bothered me.
You know?
It just always bothered me because I had problems with myself. And I just needed to learn how to love myself. And just like this girl needed someone to love her just the way she was, I realized that, like, you know, I can do so much just by really receiving how God thinks about me. And I think, like, this is a number one key component in our life with God, is really, like, there's not a mistake with us. Like, God hasn't made any mistakes with any of us. And whatever is in us that needs, I mean, like, of course, we know the old man needs to be crucified and all that, but I mean, like, the Holy Spirit will show us, like he'll show us who we really are, like, in Christ. And it's like, who was it that said today, like, or whatever? Well, anyway, I love Pastor Brian's message, Brian Coelho, this morning. But someone was saying, like, it's like God takes who we are and Christ and, like, brings them together in the new man. I mean, and this is, like, really just a phenomenal thing that I've really been thinking about this year. And it's a wonderful expression of his life in us, you know, just the unique person that each one of us are. You know, all of us and all of you are so precious. You know, I've been having so much fun being here and just getting to know each one of you really more and in a new way. And then the second thing God really taught me through another student was that we have like immeasurable worth to God. This student, she couldn't look anyone in the face. You know, she probably was bullied by peers, by teachers. She wouldn't talk to anyone. And, you know, every day was a challenge. And I think for the first month, I just wanted to shake her and be like, you know, you're like, okay, you know. And then I realized, like, God, okay, he never, like, shook me. But he's like, he's been trying to tell me, you know, like, you have a lot of worth. You know, like, do you know this? You know? And I had to really wonder, do I know this? You know, I'm trying to tell this girl, like, her worth. And she didn't have athletic ability. She didn't have great looks. She didn't have a outgoing, bubbly personality. Like, there was nothing to see that you might like. I mean, I hate to say that. But, I mean, on the surface of things, you know, we want to be with someone who's, like, bubbly and happy, and they have all the things there, you know? But in reality, that's who we are. And I could see myself in this girl, you know? Like, there's nothing in me in a way that I could say, oh, that's a great thing. But God, just like, and I was, like, thinking of Pastor Brian's message, like, with the leaven and the loaf, like, even with all of our trouble and the things that's, like, not so great about us, like, God finds, like, a huge amount of worth in us, you know? Like, everything about us is so worthy to him. And I just was really realizing that I have a lot of worth regardless of how I perform or my abilities or if I have anything to offer anybody. And for so long, I, you know, refused to listen to that. And I don't know why I refused. And I just want to finish up with saying that in this other version of Psalm 139:13, it says, "Certainly you made my mind and heart. You wove me together in my mother's womb." And I just love that, like, God made your mind and your heart. I mean, he made you. And in Matthew 8, 2 through 3, and this is one thing that Pastor Mike really, for me, has really been talking about, is God is so willing to heal and so willing to listen and so willing to do great things in our lives. And I mean, he wants to show us great and mighty things. And he is our great and mighty one, you know? And just in conclusion, like, I'm just convinced, like, with us, maybe, you know, most of you probably are very well-grounded in thinking of yourself and the finished work. But I'm just convinced that it's the number one attack against us is thinking that way and thinking of other people that way. Especially people who don't seem like they'll ever get it, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? And if we're not really settled in the finished work with God, then I think the devil has an easier time getting us off course. So, like, if there's anything we can do for ourselves and for the people that, you know, we're ministering to is just continue in the fact that God, like, I mean, he loves you, but he really likes you. And He made us, and we're just so worthy to Him. So that's it.
Thank you. Thank you to really each and every one of you being vulnerable and saying yes. I just want to say, these are the first five ladies I asked, and they all said yes. That never happens. I'm serious. Oh, yeah. So thank you. We are out of time. We're a little over time. I apologize. But thank you. This is actually the first session I've made all week. So I did it. So if anyone is interested, this was recorded. So you can, I believe, purchase the MP3 from the cafe, I believe. I know I will be, for sure, as well as the rest of the week. Okay, so can we just close in prayer, and then everybody can go find their seat? Yeah.
There is a little 12-year-old girl. Her name is Lela. And she's a student of mine at GGIS in Budapest. And they opened her chest on Monday evening and are replacing a valve. They've had a lot of complications. They never closed her up. Now it's Wednesday, and they're telling the family to prepare for the end. And we just don't accept it. I just can't accept it. Like, here we are in Baltimore. We're 6 hours ahead of her. Like, I just had this idea, like, what if we just prayed? She hasn't lived this time yet. I don't know. I just want to beg God for her life, if we could do that in our closing prayer. I love this girl. She's one of my special little artists. I teach art there, but anyway, her name is Lela. So, Father, we're going to sound like babblers, but we're just mumbling our heart's cry to you. We're your friends, and you said that we can ask for things. You spared whole cities when you were dead set on destroying them because people said, no, we just want to ask you for another chance. And Father, we just ask you for Lela's life. Give her another chance. The girl is saved. She is a light. She is a shining example of what it is to walk with God as a young girl. And I want her to take more steps with you. And we just boldly say, fix it. Fix it. Fix the brain, fix the infection, anything. Everything that has to do with her heart, just fix it and fix her in our minds for the rest of the conference, that we would keep praying for lovely Lela. And we just are so grateful for this time together, these beautiful saints, all of us together. And we praise you for that. Praise you for these lives. In Jesus' name, amen.